Mao Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namane Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachari Satarine. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 26. King Puranjana goes to the forest to hunt, text number 24.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo
Mamaham tava vera patni. Yam yatta busara kalat krita kil vishastam.
Yam yatta busara kalat krita kil vishastam.
Vasye navita vayam unmuditam trilokyam.
Vasye navita vayam unmuditam trilokyam.
Vayam,
fear,
umuditam,
without,
without anxiety.
Trilokyam.
Trilokyam. In the three worlds. Yatra.
Anyatra.
Elsewhere.
By
certainly.
Munaripo.
Of the enemy of Mura Krishna.
Of the enemy of Mura Krishna.
Itaratra.
Itaratra.
On the other hand.
Dasa.
And the servant.
Yeah,
translation and purport by His Divine Grace Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Paribhajaka Charmja Astutarasa Vishishi Maresi Bhakti Vedanta Sri Dandi Goswami Maharaja Prabhupada. O hero's wife, kindly tell me if someone has offended you. I am prepared to give this a person punishment as long as he does not belong to the Brahmin caste. But for the servant of Muraripu Krishna, I excuse no one greater than beyond these three worlds. No one can freely move after offending you, for I am prepared to punish him. Purport. According to Vedic civilization, a Brahman are one who is properly qualified to understand the absolute truth. That is, one belonging to the most intelligent social order, as well as the devotees of Lord Krishna, who are known as Muradvisha, enemy, who is known as Muradvisha, the enemy of a demon named Mura, is not subject to the rules and regulations of the state. In other words, upon breaking the laws of the state, everyone can be punished by the government except the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas. Brahmins and Vaishnavas never transgress the laws of the state and the laws of nature because they know perfectly well the resultant reactions caused by such law breaking. Even though they may sometimes appear to violate the laws, they are not to be punished by the king. This instruction was given to King Prachinabharata by Narada Muni. King Puranjana was a representative of King Prachinabharata, and Narada Muni was reminding King Prachinabharata that his forefather Maharaj Prithvi, who never chastised a Brahmin or a Vaishnava. One's pure intelligence or pure Krishna consciousness becomes polluted by material activities. Pure consciousness can be revived by the process of sacrifice, charity, pious activities, etc. But when one pollutes his Krishna consciousness by offending a Brahmin or a Vaishnava, it is very difficult to revive. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has described the Vaishnava aparad, or offense to a Vaishnava, as the mad elephant offense. One should be very careful not to offend a Vaishnava or a Brahmin. Even the great yogi Virbhasa has harassed by the Sudarshan Chakra when he offended the Vaishnava Maharaj Ambarish, who was neither a Brahmin nor a sannyasi, but an ordinary householder. Maharaj Ambarish was a Vaishnava, and consequently Durvasa Muni was chastised. The conclusion is that if Krishna consciousness is covered by material sins, one can eliminate the sins simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. But if one pollutes his Krishna consciousness by offending a Brahmin or a Vaishnava, one cannot revive it until one properly atones for the sin by pleasing the offended Vaishnava or Brahmin. This was the course that Durvasa Muni had to follow, for he surrendered unto Maharaj Ambarish. A Vaishnava aparad cannot be atoned for by any means other than by begging the pardon of the offended Vaishnava.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Krishna Chaitanya
Krishna tells his beloved disciple Arjuna, who is the recipient of the Bhagavad Gita. He says, my dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas, he is not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee of my devotee. So here we are in the Hare Krishna movement. We've got so many devotees here in Melbourne, in Sydney, in Brisbane, all over the world, North America, South America, India, Europe, everywhere. So, the insider secret of how to advance in Krishna consciousness is to develop loving relationships with as many devotees as possible, even in just your attitude about them. Even if you don't associate with them, just the attitude you have about this devotee, that devotee. In other words, there's devotees on different levels. There's neophytes, there's in the middle, and there's highly advanced devotees. But we actually respect all of them. They're all worshipable for us. We appreciate all of them. It's very, very important to learn how to appreciate devotees. As the old saying, if you love me, love my dog. If you don't like my dog, you're not my friend. If you don't like my dog, oh, I don't like you. So the devotee is called the dog of God. We think ourselves the humble dogs of God. That's our mood. So, therefore, you have to love all the devotees. You can't like this devotee and hate that one. You have to learn to love all the devotees. Even if there's some difference of opinion, still, that doesn't cause you to not love the devotees. And actually, a Vaishnava not only loves the devotees, he actually loves all living entities. Because he sees that actually every living entity is actually a devotee. They just forgot that song. So a devotee actually loves everyone. That's his position. It's called universal love. The example is given when you feed your belly, you feed your whole body. The hand needs nourishment. The toe needs nourishment. So do you stick your toe in the soup? No. You take the hand and put the soup in the mouth. And then that nutritional benefit goes to the whole body. So when you actually love Krishna, when you truly love Krishna, you will surely love all of his living entities. They're all his expanded parts and parcels. So you can go at it either way. Actually, we should go about it both ways. We should try to awaken our loving feelings for Krishna, and that will automatically give us loving feelings for all of his expanded energy in all these living beings. You can work at it that way and the other way too. Try to love all the living beings because they are part and parcel of Krishna. That will enhance your ability to love Krishna. Just like we sing every morning in the Nishinga prayers. Bahir Nasingho Hridaye Nasingho May Lord Vishnudev dwell within my heart, killing all my bad propensities, so my mind becomes completely clean and I can bring peace to the entire world. So we pray to have purity within, and we pray to have purity in our relationship with the world around us, both ways. We work it from both sides. That's how you make very rapid advancement in Krishna consciousness. Try to love Krishna, and try to love all the living entities because they're Krishna's parts and parcels. So what does that mean, loving the parts and parcels? That means, some poor man asked me for a hamburger, I buy him a hamburger? No. That means I give him food offered to Krishna. So we have to, that love is not in a material sense. Not to play with the carpet. We should be hearing is sit up and hear. Don't play with the carpet. The carpet will not save you the time of death. But these words will. So you have to tune into these words, not the carpet. So we take these teachings very seriously. It's like Krishna says in Gita, much chitta magata prana bodhiyam vadaspadam katiyantashtamam nityam tasham ticharamantacha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, their lives are surrendered unto me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So this is a very wonderful feature of our movement. We can get together and we can talk about our realizations of Krishna consciousness. See, or you can inquire. You can share realizations, you can inquire about it. The more we assess these things, the more the natural feelings of Krishna consciousness will manifest. Actually, we're all pure devotees of Krishna. We're all his associates from the spiritual world who misused our independence and fell down to the cycle of birth and death. So, we're suffering from amnesia, you could say. We've forgotten. The foolish are thinking, I'm his body. We're sleeping, thinking I'm his body, you see. So, if somebody is suffering from amnesia, what's the cure? You bring him back to those things which reinforce his identity. His wife is there, his dog, his guitar, his house, his car, whatever, you see. You bring him back into those things which tell him who he actually is, you see. So the same thing we do here, you see. We're actually all the associates of Krishna from the spiritual world and misused our independence. So what we do, as we bring back ourselves in contact with all those things that reinforce the actual identity we have, you see. Even the way we dress. So we put on the tilak, marking the body as the temple of God. We dress as in a way a traditional devotee dresses. We do everything. And we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Describe the number of times on the bees every day. All of this stuff is meant to revive us, to bring us back to the, oh yeah, I am a devotee of Krishna. We'll actually get to the point, we'll actually remember who we were in Krishna's pastimes. That day, we become a completely pure devotee, you'll actually wake up, oh yeah, I'm such and such gopa or gopi or this or that in Krishna's pastimes. Now I'm going to enter back into my relationship I originally had. That day will come. You see, for each and every one of us, you actually remember, oh yeah. I was doing this to Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan, and this thought came that what if it'd be like if I was Krishna? And then, I ended up in the material realm, the post of Lord Brahma, the Lord of the whole universe. And then I fell down to Indra and Ganesh and boom, 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 and then Indra Gopa germ, trying to squeeze some pleasure out of this position of enjoying independently. But actually now I've realized my mistake. The hand cannot enjoy independently from the body by squeezing the food in the fingers. It cannot get even one pinch of nutritional benefit by squeezing the food in the fingers. That's our foolishness of the present time. We're trying to enjoy separately. But we say, well, why should I squeeze the food in the fingers? I'll just feed it to the mouth and go to the belly and then I'll get the nourishment. So that's what Krishna consciousness is. It's learning how to dovetail your consciousness with the Supreme Consciousness. Learning how to connect yourself. This is yoga, you see. how to connect yourself. This is the highest form of yoga. Yoga, or linking, yoking. We are reconnecting with our actual identities of the eternal servants of Krishna. That's stated there in the Sanskrit language. Jivera Sarupahai Krishnera Nichadas. The authoritative scriptures are telling us the constitutional position of every single living being is the eternal servant of Krishna. So all these people walking around Melbourne, they're all Krishna's devotees. See, all, even the animals, the plants, the mosquitoes, according to their karma, these are all devotees from the spiritual world who've fallen down to the material world. So our mission is to get everyone back to their original identities, and we do that by getting ourselves back, you see. We have to set the example. The example is better than precepts. So the best teaching you can do to others is you be an ideal example. You can set an ideal example. It's called acharya, one who accepts the proper example. The more you become an ideal practicer of Krishna consciousness, you will naturally have the ability to communicate it to others. Others will gravitate towards you gradually as you become. It's like everybody gravitated towards Prabhupada. He was so attractive because Krishna himself, the Supreme Lord, is all attractive. And one who becomes more and more connected with Krishna, more and more attuned with Krishna, more and more pure in his representation of Krishna, that attractive potency is also manifested in him. It's like we were so attracted to Prabhupada, even though he was an old man. Is it using a cane? We were so attracted to him. He wasn't a pop singer, he wasn't a star football player, but we were so attracted to us because of that pure Krishna consciousness. So the more we awaken our own Krishna consciousness, we will naturally be able to influence others and influence more and more and more of the world around us. So that's why we should take very seriously the instructions in this verse in purport today about proper relationships with devotees. Sometimes we have disagreements and we may argue, you say. Well, that's not very intelligent. Sometimes we have a disagreement, we argue, we realize, oh my goodness, I was actually wrong. We found out later on I was wrong. Why was I arguing that out of pride when actually I was wrong the whole time? You see? So we have to learn this humble mood. I don't know everything. I'm just trying to learn. I'm a student here trying to learn the science of Krishna consciousness. I may not understand everything perfectly, but the scriptures are perfect. So we have to learn how to think, speak, and act as that we're meant. Actually, our lives become manifestations of what are written in the scriptures. That's how we become perfect in Krishna consciousness. You become a living embodiment of these teachings. By practicing them, by remembering them, by talking about them, by hearing them, meditating on them, praying to Krishna that you can understand fully the meaning of these things and fully the practical implementation of these teachings. It's a process of going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into this science. And there's actually no limit to how deep you can go. The nectar is unlimited. So the deeper you go, the more nectarian it gets, and you go even deeper, it becomes more nectarian. So that's the beauty of this. Krishna consciousness is unlimited. This is God is unlimited. The consciousness of developing love for Him can go on increasing, increasing, increasing. You're becoming sweeter and sweeter, more knowledgeable, more enlivened for all of eternity. So we have to plug into this process then of awakening our Krishna consciousness, taking it as the prime business of our lives, to awaken this dormant Krishna consciousness. It's there already. It's not something we're artificially imposing upon ourselves. It's already there, sleeping within us. We simply have to wake it up. It's like there's that song, Jeev-Jago, Jeev-Jago, Gaura-Chandra-Bole. How long will you sleep, you living entities? Wake up! Wake up! How long will you sleep in that lap of the witch named Maya or illusion? Wake up! Wake up! So all we really have to do is wake up. We have unlimited blessings awaiting us simply by waking up. So this process of chanting Hare Krishna like we do on our beads, that's for waking us up.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And the more we wake ourselves up, the more we will have a waking up potency on the world around us. So it's a great benefit, great benediction upon the suffering souls of this world when a person awakens their Krishna consciousness. Because that person then has an uplifting impact on the entire global atmosphere. If we have a whole movement of people doing it, then it becomes even more powerful. So let's take this process seriously. Let us get back to that visional, loving relationship we have with Krishna and the spiritual world before we foolishly misuse our independence. Let's get back to that relationship and then try to spread it to the suffering people. Have compassion upon those who are lacking Krishna consciousness. Take the chanting to the streets. Like the other night, we sang on the beach. It was so wonderful. We had ecstatic chanting on the beach. And many people joined us, singing and dancing in ecstasy. So they didn't realize they were getting their spiritual life was beginning. It looked like a good party for them. Yeah, let's have a good party on the beach. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But actually they got the benefit of chanting the holy name of God and dancing in ecstasy. So the holy name of God. So perhaps there's some questions, I can try to answer them. Anybody have any questions? Everyone satisfied now to cultivate the awakening of pure love of God within your heart as the prime duty in life? Or is it a secondary duty? Or third or fourth level duty? Actually, you should take this as the most important thing in your life. Other things you can do, you can get an education, you can get a job, a career, but those are secondary things. This is your prime business. You have to understand this is your duty to awaken your dormant love for Krishna within the heart. That's the goal of your life. And you take whatever material situation to facilitate that. You arrange your material life in such a way that best facilitates your awakening of Krishna consciousness and your sharing it with others. So everything revolves around Krishna. It's called Krishna-centered life. Everything revolves around Krishna. And that's how one actually becomes successful. By everything becomes centered on Krishna. My every thought, my every word, my every deed, in every situation is for His pleasure and satisfaction. It's actually not difficult. You take this process sincerely, it's not difficult. It's only difficult if we try to mix in material sense gratification. Try to bring my material motives into Krishna consciousness. Now if you kick out all the material motives and just go for pure bhakti, it becomes very simple then. Not difficult though. As we often say, simple for the simple and difficult for the crooked. Just be a simple, humble soul who wants to awaken its Krishna consciousness. That's the only agenda you need. You come with that agenda, it's very simple. You'll develop a taste for the names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
You develop a taste for hearing about Krishna, talking about Krishna, honoring the foodstuffs offered to Krishna, coming to the temple of Krishna, associating with the devotees of Krishna, going to the holy places and associating with Krishna. You develop a taste for all these things. Becomes fulfilling, enlivening, thrilling experience. Just to chant the holy names becomes a great thrilling experience. These things naturally come from when you're sincerely trying to become spiritually perfect. When one has that sincere desire to be spiritually perfect, the Lord in your heart knows that and He will reciprocate with you. He'll make all facility for you to quickly come to that level of spiritual perfection, where you have only one desire, and that desire to please the Supreme Person, God. As Christ said in the Bible, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. This is perfect Krishna consciousness. That everything must be for the pleasure of my beloved Lord. Everything is for his satisfaction. That's how you become completely peaceful, completely happy. And when you do that, that Supreme Person who's controlling everything that's going on everywhere will make all kinds of amazing special arrangements to facilitate you on your pathway of advancing your Krishna consciousness and to facilitate your spreading Krishna consciousness to others. The Supreme Lord will make all kinds of special arrangements to you if you sincerely give your love to Him. Just try it. Sincerely give your love to Krishna and see what happens. Magic will happen all around you. You say, wow, this is amazing. Wow, this is really amazing. What's going on? All I did is I was trying to awaken love for Krishna within my heart and just see what's happening. Wow, amazing. So one simply has to be sincere in this way and all amazing things will come. Krishna is actually present. We just have to start thinking, speaking, and acting with that conviction that actually Krishna is with me right now. I'm not separated from Krishna. He's here right now. He's seen me. He's hearing me. He knows what I'm thinking. So we just have to learn how to feel that presence of Krishna. Just have to reciprocate with that presence of Krishna by always doing everything for His pleasure. How can I talk? How can I give this class in such a way that pleases Krishna? How can I hear this class in such a way that pleases Krishna? How can I do everything in that way? You're always thinking, how can I do this in such a way that will please Krishna? Just start thinking like that, everything you do 24/7, and your life will take off like a rocket. You'll be bliss of heaven every day, as they say. Every day I mean ecstatic celebration. Just understand Krishna is with you at every minute. And try to do every thought, every word and deed. How would Krishna like me to deal with this situation? How would Krishna like me to give this class? You see? How would Krishna like me to offer this arti or sing this kirtan? Whatever you're doing, help me satisfy me, Krishna. And are Krishna's dear devotee, Srila Prabhupada, or your spiritual master? So all these sort of meditations will actually elevate your consciousness to the spiritual plane, where the pinches of the material nature don't disturb you anymore because you're beyond them. You see? So anybody have any questions? On the internet, we have any? No, none on the internet. Anybody here have any questions? Yes?
Sometimes we notice in the community of devotees, some devotees might go through some sort of material situation, whether it's work or health and things like that. So how we can help, we don't see that, it's not spiritual, how we can help them in some way. And the second part of it is sometimes we don't know what they are going through. They feel a bit hesitant to ask.
We should ask people, what's happening? You look like you're under anxiety. You should ask them, open up, have them reveal your heart to you. Just to have somebody, when somebody cares, that can make a huge difference. Actually, you're going through a lot of anxiety, you don't even know how to express it, but then somebody asks you, you're really in a lot of anxiety for what's happening. Just that somebody cares about them can really give them a tremendous amount of relief. Just that one gesture, I really care about you, what's the difficulty? Such relief, you see. Even just that compassion, that concern, that inquiry can help them immensely. And then Krishna may give you some, since you're sincerely trying to help them, Krishna can guide you from within what to tell them to help them. How to guide them, how to deal with it. Very nice question. Anything else? Yes.
So Krishna Guru, you have been saying last classes that you need to be simple. What do you mean by being simple in Krishna consciousness?
That I know no one that Krishna is my Lord and He shall remain so. Even if He handle me roughly by His embrace or leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me, He is my worshipful Lord unconditionally. That's being simple. There's no complications. That not that I'll be Krishna's devotee if
conditions.
There's no ifs. I said, he's my worshipful Lord, I fully give myself to him. And that mood is, I'm just a devotee, and whatever he wants me to do, whatever pleases him, that's what I'm going to do. That's a simple mood. Not here trying to manipulate Krishna. You see? That's when you get complicated. Trying to manipulate Krishna for your own, for your desires. It doesn't work. If you give up any tendency to want to manipulate Krishna and just say, oh Krishna, you can manipulate me now, anybody you want, I belong to you. I'm your puppet, you pull the string. That's simple. Yes?
So one of the ten offenses talks about instructing a faithless person.
One of the qualities of
the ninth offense.
The ninth offense talks about instructing a faithless person about the glories of Krishna. Everybody starts from a starting point. So how do we draw a line, or how do we identify? Because when we go to someone and we know that they're not that interested, but we still want to preach. We are in the beginning stage. I'm in the beginning stage myself, but how can I say that, yes, this person is a faithless person without, you know, attempting to try? So where do we draw a line, in other words, thinking that this is a faithless person, so let's move on?
Can you summarize it?
He said that the ninth office is something to instruct that Krishna's only name to the faithless person. So if if I am a new person, how do I draw a line that this person is faithless and that person is am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
You have to, you really have to tune in and learn how to really listen and understand someone. Just, anybody who is expert at guiding others is a very good listener. You have to tune in, you have to actually get a very clear understanding of what's going on in their consciousness, what's going on in their life, what's going on in their consciousness. One has to get a very, very clear understanding. And then if one is sincere, and his desire to help that person, then Krishna will, from within the heart, will inspire you what to tell them. You just have to be sincere and be very open, and don't prejudge. Well, I think they're having this. No, let them reveal to you exactly what's going on. And then Krishna will, because you're sincerely trying to help them on behalf of Krishna, Krishna will bless you with what to tell them also. Krishna will help you. It's like he's helping me to answer your question right now. Send in. If it's tuned in, make sure you actually understand the question and the difficulty they're going through. And then you share from your own experience what you've read, what you've learned, what you've heard. You just very kindly share with them as best you can to help them deal with that situation. And the most important thing is that there's some saying, they don't care how much you know, but they care about it. They want to know. See, how's this thing going? They don't care how much you know, they want to know how much you care. You don't need to show yourself, yeah, I'm the big expert, you know, I know all these verses, blah, 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 blah. No. They don't care how much you know, they want to know how much you care. You see? So you actually show, you actually have that genuine compassion, and you make it obvious to them by the way that you deal with them. That will have a tremendous, that will encourage them greatly in whatever problem they're having. If here's somebody who cares about me, and this is wonderful. I'm feeling this love and compassion going in this person. I feel so happy, you see. It's like we felt so happy that Prabhupada was giving us his loving compassion. It was the greatest thing. Prabhupada be pleased with us and bless us. He advised us, please accept my blessings. It was so wonderful to get a letter from Prabhupada, please accept my blessing. And Prabhupada really cared. He would take the time and trouble to answer so many devotees. Actually, when I joined the movement, every devotee was welcome to write Prabhupada a letter. Anybody wanted to write Prabhupada a letter and get an answer back. But then there were so many letters, there was a new policy now. Only the temple presidents, sannyasis, and GBC should write Prabhupada a letter. But I had already written him a few letters, and I was in great distress because I just had this. I needed that contact. So I wrote Prabhupada a letter, even against the policy. And Prabhupada wrote me back and told me about the policy. But then he said, he gave me a concession. He said that if there's any urgent matter, I'm always happy to hear from my beloved disciples. I had an exemption from Prabhupada directly for the ISKCON policy. He exempted me from the ISKCON policy if I had an urgent need. And I did write a few more letters when I had the urgent need. But after I had no longer felt the urgent need, I was satisfied. Because I knew Prabhupada was with me and blessing me in every situation. Even though I wasn't fighting anymore, I felt his presence right there in my heart, you see. So, yeah, if someone has an urgent need, let them reveal their heart to you. Take the time and trouble to hear what they're going through in detail, fully understand what they're going through. And then Krishna will help you how to help them. Krishna really will help you how to help them. Jai, anything else? Yes?
Srila Prabhupada, what is the difference between a devotee offense compared to correcting and training a devotee?
Compared to blaspheming a devotee?
Correcting a devotee.
There's been correcting a devotee in what?
Devotee offense, offending a devotee.
Well, you could be correcting him in an offensive way also. With what they call a holier than thou attitude. You scum. Don't you know how to chat, Hare Krishna? We have to correct people, because sometimes we have to say it in a strong way to penetrate the ignorance that people have. I know that oftentimes I'm blessed in that way too. Sometimes I'm told very strongly something in my career of Krishna consciousness. So that compassion should always be there. You may sometimes have to say something very sharply also in a strong way also to help somebody. When if you're sincere, Krishna will give you the intelligence to understand what will best help this person in this situation. That's your mood you should always have. So I give them a very soft correction or a strong, it depends on the situation. Sometimes a strong medicine is needed. Depends on the illness, the difficulty they're having, the psychological diversion that's happening with them. Does that help a little bit? Anything else? Have you been satisfied now to cultivate pure bhakti? Yes.
Talking about the same, are we in a position to correct someone apart from the spiritual master? And my question is, are we in a position, are devotees in a position to correct someone?
Preaching means correcting. Lord Chaitanya's letter is preached to the whole world. Your duty is to correct the whole world. Whomever you meet, instructing the teachings of Krishna and this my Maharaja, you become a guru and deliver the people of this world. So actually, your duty is to correct the whole world. Lord Chaitanya is giving you the duty to correct the whole world. The whole world is in Maya, and every follower of Lord Chaitanya has been ordered to correct the whole world. So one has to just learn what is effective in every situation. By sincerely trying, you'll learn. By experience, you can also learn. It's like as a mother, it's your duty to correct your child. If you don't, you become a spoiled brat, isn't it? So everyone has a duty. Everyone's in a situation that there's someone younger than who's newer in Krishna consciousness than you are, then you should correct them if necessary. Not that you have to be their initiating guru to correct them. No. That's called Siksha Guru. We have one initiating spiritual master, we can have hundreds of instructing spiritual masters. So you should be a siksha guru if anybody needs to be corrected. Next. So we'll stop here and we thank everybody. Oh, okay.
Thank you so much. Raj, you mentioned about that we should take the devotional service very sincerely. So when we listen, like sannyasis and all senior disciples of Prabhupada, they come, we feel inspired, but in very short time, we come into, I personally, myself, come into the comfort zone very quickly.
What happened?
Come into our comfort zone.
Comfort zone.
And then don't take it so seriously.
Your uncomfortable comfort zone? You have to understand what is the real comfort. There's only one true comfort zone, and that's pure devotional service. Don't imagine that there's any comfort outside of pure devotional service. That's an illusion. Any position outside being a fully awakened pure devotee of Krishna is a very uncomfortable position to be in. Don't be deluded by Maya thinking it's very comfortable to be, to remain in the material nature to a certain extent. It's a very uncomfortable position. You should be very, you should feel very, very uncomfortable about all your impurities. That's how you should feel about your impurities. I'm very uncomfortable about all my impurities. That, because that will bring you to the true comfort zone of pure devotional service. You should be very, very uncomfortable about all your negative. Your pride, your envy, your lust, your greed. You should be very uncomfortable about all those enemies sitting in your heart right now. Is it? Very, very uncomfortable about that. Does that make sense? Kick in the boot. Kick Maya with the boot. Get out, Mr. Lust. Get out, Mr. Anger. Get out, Mr. Greed. Of course, anger can be used, but not in an uncontrolled way. For teaching, we may sometimes show in an angry way. But that's called using anger as a teaching. Teaching technique. That sometimes is helpful to show an angry mood when you're teaching someone. It sometimes helps to pull them out of their stupor. Anything else? All right.
Why do the
And I'll take him next. He's brand new, so he goes first.
What would be the best way to introduce Hare Krishna to someone completely new that hasn't looked at that perspective at all?
The best way to introduce someone who's completely new to Krishna consciousness, it depends on this, depends on where they're at. If they're a Beatle fan, you can tell them about George Harrison, My Sweet Lord, you know. Because he chants Hare Krishna on that. That song is a prayer to Krishna. You see? So you have to be... there's a saying in Sanskrit, Desha Kala Patra, time, place, and circumstance. You have to see where that person is at, and you have to custom fit the message for that particular person. Just like with you, you're new, and I'm trying to custom fit it a way that will connect with you. You have to tune into that person and see how I can really connect it with this person. Everyone has different mentalities, so you got to tune into that particular person, and really you can pray to Krishna, my dear Krishna, please help me connect with this person so they can really feel the connection with you. There's no one set line you can say. It depends. It's really the sincerity of you, the one who is telling you about Krishna, and you're feeling dependent on Krishna to help you connect with them, because Krishna is within their heart. And you're really just connecting them with their true identity is all you're really doing. You're not imposing something artificial on them. Preaching means you're helping to free them from all the artificialities that have been imposed upon them by material society. So maybe that helps a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. And one thing is we have recordings of Prabhupada, an MP3 collection. You can actually get a little MP3 stick within the computer. You can hear all his lectures, all his conversations, and you can learn a lot by hearing Prabhupada. He preaches. He's amazing. He preaches in so many different ways depending on the audience. So the, we really recommend you can be, reading his books is the most important thing. When you hear his conversations, also, you see practically how he preaches what's in the book. So it's very helpful also hearing Prabhupada's conversations when he, how he's talking to different people. How he talks to a, you know, a yogi from India or from a Christian, you know, priest. He has so many different conversations you can listen to and hear how Prabhupada deals, you know, talking with his disciples, talking with you know, college professors, so many. It's very helpful to hear Prabhupada, how he preaches. Anything else? Everyone satisfied now? Ready to cultivate pure devotional? Yes, your turn.
What happens to the spiritual master when an initiated devotee leaves ISKCON?
Initiated devotee, well, I can tell you, being in that position and having disciples sometimes in great trouble, it's like a knife here in my heart. That's what it feels like. You're in the spirit. It's like if you're a parent and your child goes, it's a very heavy thing. It's a similar thing. Spiritual master is the spiritual father. So when an initiated disciple falls away, it's just like a knife in his heart. It's very painful for the spiritual master. Very, very painful. Because he has that compassionate feeling. He's trying to help that person. And now they're in great difficulty. And he's trying to help them, but they don't want to take his help. It's a very, very painful thing for the spiritual master. Extremely painful thing for the spiritual master. So that's one of the austerities of being a spiritual master. There's many rewards also of having when disciples are doing very nicely. It's very enlivening for the spiritual master. The disciples are doing well, but when the disciples are in great difficulty, it's very, very painful. But the good news is that Lord Chaitanya is also feeling that pain. So when the one shares that pain of Lord Chaitanya, for the sake of the fallen soul, then Lord Chaitanya gives one special mercy. So when the spiritual master feels that great pain in his heart, at the same time he gets special mercy from Lord Chaitanya. Because he's helping Lord, he's bearing part of Lord Chaitanya's pain among him within his own heart. Lord Chaitanya gives him special blessing. So there's always that side of it. The spiritual master is on that way is always fortunate. But he feels great disturbance when his disciples are in difficulty. Because he's dedicating himself to even come back lifetime after lifetime to save all of his disciples if necessary. Take birth again to save them. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Anything else? Yes.
So someone is asking like how to take Krishna consciousness seriously.
How to take it seriously? Well, you understand that you're only that if you don't become Krishna conscious, you're going to take birth again. You understand that? You take birth again in the material world. You don't take it seriously. And if you live impiously, you go down to the animal kingdom also. So, one has to understand that you know this is my real self-interest and to take this very seriously. If I don't, I'm putting myself in trouble. One has to understand the absolute necessity of taking Krishna consciousness. Does that answer your question?
How to
take it seriously? So, if you understand you need to take it seriously, and you're having trouble taking it seriously, then you can pray to Krishna, the Lord Chaitanya. My dear spiritual master, my dear Lord Chaitanya, my dear Lord Krishna, I know I should take this seriously, but I'm such a fool, I'm more attracted to money and women than I am to Krishna consciousness. So please help me out of this delusion and understand the most serious business I have is to awaken pure love of God within my heart. Everything else is secondary. You can just ask Krishna to help you. And he will. Krishna is right there with you at every minute. If you have it, if you're in difficulty, you can talk to him and tell him what's happening. He'll bless you. Krishna is not a dumb stone. He's fully cognizant of everything. And he's full of compassion upon you. So take advantage of that compassion by openly revealing your heart to him. And he'll bless you. Huh? Like torrents of rain in the monsoon season, probably. Anything else? Yes.
You mentioned previously, I think in yesterday's class, that it's predicted.
Mentioned what?
You mentioned that, I think it was predicted that within 5,000 years or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's predicted in the Kali Santarana Upanishad, Madhvakta Madhvakta, the whole world will be filled up with devotees. Madhvakta Samasarmada, I forget the Sanskrit. But it's predicted there within the 10,000 year Chaitanya era, which began 500 years ago, there will be a point in this Kali Yuga when the whole world is filled up with devotees. Madhvakta Samti Bhutale, the whole world will be filled up with my devotees. So it is going to happen within this 10,000 year period, which started 500 years ago. The whole world will become Krishna conscious.
Isn't this Kali Yuga, so isn't the world continually deteriorating?
It's like they have, it's what's called an Indian summer. I don't know if you have those in Australia, but the winter comes, you're going into the winter, but then a warm spell comes. It's called an Indian summer. So we're having an Indian summer in the age of Kali. The Chaitanya era is a period of a 10,000 year period when the whole world will become filled up with Krishna consciousness. If you want to read more about it, you can go into the conversations, and you have the Vedabase? Look at the Prabhupada's conversations with Allen Ginsberg. Prabhupada talks about there in detail with Allen Ginsberg. A 10,000 year period when the whole world will become Krishna conscious. So that began 500 years ago, and when it will manifest? Well, it's up to us. How quickly that inundation will happen is that how pure are you chanting your mantra? By our own purity, that the more we can, Prabhupada said, if one chants the holy name with complete purity, under his influence, the whole world will become Krishna conscious. That's the power of pure chanting. So then our ISKCON, if more and more devotees become more and more pure in their chanting, that will speed up the Krishnaization of this planet. Of course, after that 10,000 year period, all hell will break loose and the whole world will be cannibals, actually, like in the jungle. It's like when someone says, what's for dinner? You may be for dinner. It's going to be heavy. But that's another 9,500 years from now. We have this time now, we have the opportunity to make that gigantic spiritual revolution on this planet. We have the opportunity, we're in a very golden moment in history, when we can actually be instrumental for making the whole world Krishna conscious. Kijai. Anything else? Yes?
Maharaj, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the Krishna's names are all pure themselves. So when we are chanting purely automatically.
Yes, but we're mixing in. The name itself is pure, that's a fact. So even when the non-devotees chant, they get benefit. But trouble is, you know, the pure name is there, but there's all the impurities. Our impurities are also there, that's the problem. It's like you have a diamond, but there's some stool in the diamond. The diamond is pure, but there's stool on it right now, you see. So we have the holy name is a diamond, but there's a stool of our lust, our anger, our greed, our madness, illusion, and the being mixed in with it. So we have to become, we develop this, and we have to come to a state called Shuddhanam. Right now we're chanting a level called Nam Aparad. But by sincerely endeavoring to become pure devotees, avoiding the 10 offenses, and gradually those aparas will go down to zero and Shuddhanam will fully manifest. When Shuddhanam manifests, you'll be able to see Krishna directly face to face. It's like you can see me and I can see you. Be able to directly see, when you get to Shuddhanam, you'll be able to directly see Krishna face to face. So, we have to get rid of these offenses. Why are we cheating ourselves by holding on to our material qualities? We have to learn how to put them down. My lust, my anger, my greed, madness, illusion, envy. Curb them down. Keep curbing them down. And putting Krishna forward. That makes sense to you?
Kind of.
But why you do not know?
Because the holy name is pure. And
yes.
No matter who chants it.
But you're not. You're seeing Krishna face to face, eye to eye, right now.
Yes, with Jagannath.
That's true. But when you're walking down the street, do you see Krishna?
But if I chant, I hear about him. But that's experiencing Krishna.
That's true.
We don't have to necessarily see about Krishna. We have to just hear about him.
It's true. The name is pure. The fact is, the name is pure. But we have impurities within our hearts. At the same time, we're not able to fully. The name is pure, but we're not fully experiencing the name because of the impurities within our hearts. That's a fact. We're not fully experiencing the name. When you are fully experiencing the name, you go into complete ecstasy and be rolling on the floor, your body be shivering. You can read about the great devotees that go into these high ecstasies of pure chanting. You can read in the scriptures. We're not. I know I'm not on that level. Is it? So the fact is the name, the pure name, the name is pure, but we're not fully experiencing. Because of the impurities within our hearts, we're not fully experiencing that pure name yet. Only partially experiencing it. But as you progress more and more in this pathway, and the name becomes more and more prominent in your heart, more and more manifest. It's like you've been chanting for how many years?
Like 50 plus.
50? Is the name is sweeter now than it was in the beginning? You're finding more pleasure in chanting, and mind is more peaceful now. Yeah.
More and more pleasure.
Yeah. So that it will continue to grow like that. And finally, you reach the point of absolute purity. You will be able to see Krishna even when you're not looking at the deity. Krishna will be manifest. Now he's manifest as the deity. I remember I was in Atlanta with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was sitting in the Vyasa Sthan. He's looking. We have Gornatai in the center, big Gornatai deities. Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda have appeared in Atlanta, and he was gazing at the deities. And I understood his seeing, the way he sees the deities and we see the deities is different. He's actually seeing a living person standing there, a living, breathing person standing there. We're seeing a statue, he's seeing a living, breathing person standing there. You understand the difference? So, that ability of deity darsha, the holy name, that grows on you more and gradually more and more to where you actually are directly in contact with Krishna. You're actually just like being in the spiritual world and seeing Krishna in front of you. It comes to that point even here in this material world. So that's great. 50 years of chanting. Well, that's great. Keep it up.
Well, it is also said that we should not try to see Krishna, but work in such a way that Krishna wants to see us.
Yeah, that's when you see him. But not trying to see him, but try to act in a way that he wants to see you. That's when you see him. Not that you say, Krishna, come on, reveal yourself to me. It doesn't work. No, you act in such a way that Krishna is very, very pleased with you, and then that's when you see him. That's it. We also have that prayer, Jagannatha Swami Nayanta Pagami Baba, please come to my vision. We also have that prayer. You have to understand the mood of the prayer. It's not demanding, okay Krishna, gotta show yourself to me now. No, it's not like that. If you're really there, you gotta show yourself, otherwise I'm gonna be an atheist. No, it's not. But my dear Krishna, I belong to you. Please bless me now that I can be absolutely fully pleasing to you by every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances. Let me be your totally sold out devotee. You see. I know it's like Lord Chaitanya. See those prayers. You can understand the prayers of Lord Chaitanya, what your mood should be. I know no one that Krishna is my Lord, and he shall remain so. Either he handles me roughly by his embrace, or leaves me brokenhearted by not being present before me, still he is my worshipful Lord unconditionally. When you can fully embrace that mood, they become visible. Because you're not demanding he's visible, you're just demanding that you're totally sold out to him. That's when he became Prabhu. Anything else? The class is going for what, 7 days? The original Bhagavatam class was 7 days straight. 24 times 7. There's no breaks for prasadam or taking a nap. They went for 7 days straight, the original Bhagavatam class. But we're not on that level. Anything else? Any final last question? Yes?
In regards to the golden age, it's 10,000 years. So I have a fear that we may cultivate some sort of mentality that we attain the heavenly planets. And then
mentality of what?
Of attaining the heavenly planets.
What's he saying? Of attaining the heavenly planets.
Attaining the heavenly planet?
Attaining
the heavenly planet?
We may develop the mentality to attain the heavenly planets.
Who wants to go to the heavenly planets? Heavenly planets are also hellish. Anything outside of the spiritual world, it may appear to be, it's not as even when you, sometimes the demons attack the heavenly planets. The demigods are overrun by the demons at one point, and that's when they had that Kadvanga Maharaj to come and fight off the demons in the heavenly planets. What's the use of such a place? We're not just in the heavenly planets, we're just in the spiritual world. See, the heavenly planets are the higher planets in the material world. We're not interested in, you know, it's like you can live in the slum or you can live in the ritzy neighborhood. You're still in the material world. The lower planets are the slum of the material world and the higher planets are the ritzy neighborhood of the material world. Why do you want to live in a place where you still have to get old, sick and die? You see, why? Prabhupada said, heaven is nothing for us, we are living in Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. If you take this process seriously, you're living beyond the heavenly planets right here, right now, at this minute. Higher, you're living higher than the demigods who are in the heavenly planets. Prabhupada said, heaven is nothing for us, we are living in Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. So why would you want to come down to the heavenly planets? You can live in the Vaikuntha in the spiritual world right here, right now, within this kind. What's your answer?
You get so much. It seems like when you do devotional service, you do get the material benefits of prestige, some opulence, some respect.
But if you're carried away by them, you fall down. Those things come. Those things come, but you have to engage them in Krishna's service. It's like you may become a famous singer, a famous speaker, a famous guru. That's all right if you use it in Krishna's service. But if you get puffed up and think, "Oh, now I'm great," then you're finished. One may get prestige and honor and position within Krishna consciousness. But you have to just humbly use it as Krishna's special mercy to give you some service, that's all. Understand? If you get carried away by it, you'll fall down. I mean, I've been around for almost 50 years. I've seen so many bigs fall down. They were big singers, big preachers. Finished. So you have to be... always be a humble servant, no matter what your situation is, whether you're unknown or you're a famous advertised traveling speaker, traveling devotee. And in any position, you always have to say, "May humble, meek and humble within your heart." Understand that you're nothing. Just a humble servant of Krishna, that's all. Not a big shot, just a humble servant of Krishna. So always keep that humble mood. Lower than the straw in the street. Ready to offer all respect to others, not considering yourself to be a great personality. Always consider yourself to be a fallen soul and begging for the mercy of the Vaishnavas. That's the mood. And give one great strength and powerful leadership, become a powerful leader also in this movement. Anything else? Okay, we're already a half hour over time, so I think we'll stop. We thank you for tuning in. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada ki jai.